It's nearly Christmas, which means that if you work in an office, you'll no doubt have noticed the steady increase in packages showing up at reception. A quarter of UK shoppers do their shopping over what's known as the Cyber Weekend. That includes a weekend bookended by the American Black Friday shopping holiday and its online counterpart, Cyber Monday. Adobe Analytics data revealed last month that more than half of UK Christmas shopping budgets will be spent online this year. And why am I telling you all of this on a podcast about driverless cars and the future of mobility? Well, all those gifts need to make their way to people's doorsteps and under their trees somehow. Welcome back to Journey Makers, the podcast exploring not just what the future looks like, but how we're going to get there. Each month, we take on one of the big questions facing the future of mobility. And in this episode, we're talking about freight. And the big question we're asking is, how will driverless vehicles affect the future of freight? Now, freight is about much more than just Christmas presents and online shopping, of course. In fact, those packages arriving at your home or workplace are really just the tip of the iceberg. When we talk about freight, we're referring to the movement of goods in bulk. It's an industry that involves trucks, trains, ships, and planes, as well as smaller modes of transport that carry items for the last few miles and meters. For the purposes of this podcast, though, we'll be focusing on the road side of things. Vans, lorries, that kind of thing. So, what does that look like at the moment? According to the Road Haulage Association, a trade body dedicated to the interests of the road haulage industry, 89% of all goods transported by land in Great Britain are moved directly by road. And even those goods not moved directly by road often make use of road haulage to complete journeys to and from ports, rail terminals, or airports. As much as 98% of all food and agricultural products in Great Britain are transported by road freight, and 98% of all consumer products and machinery are moved by road too. The sector employs more than 2.5 million people, including as many as 600,000 who hold a goods vehicle licence. But the industry faces plenty of challenges too, not least because of a shortage of drivers. Figures on the driver deficit range from 45,000 to 60,000, and a combination of an ageing workforce and uncertainty about the UK's exit from the European Union threaten to make that situation worse. Freight is a highly competitive business that operates within tight margins, and this means that operational efficiency and cost reduction are vitally important. And in the face of some of these challenges, some have started to look to technology for a solution. One such technological solution is connected and autonomous vehicles, or CAVs. Hence our question this month: how will driverless vehicles affect the future of freight? Last year, the Transport Research Laboratory, or TRL as we know them, was awarded a government contract to test out semi-autonomous lorries on UK roads. More specifically, the tests are aimed at trialling what's known as vehicle platoons of up to 3 lorries travelling in formation. In these platoons, the lead vehicle is controlled by a human driver and communicates with others in the convoy wirelessly, instructing their onboard computers to accelerate, brake, etc., etc. On the smaller end of the scale, we've got what are known as delivery robots, which have been trialled in Milton Keynes and South London. These machines are used for what's known as last mile delivery, the sort of thing that might bring your Cyber Monday packages to your front door. Other than these examples, however, the way that freight might come together with driverless vehicles is largely unexplored territory. So, as with every episode of Journey Makers, we've corralled together some experts to find out what the future looks like and how we're going to get there. Helping to take on our big question this month is
Rod McKenzie. I am the Managing Director of Policy and Public Affairs at the Road Haulage Association.
And
my name's Ailish Garvey. I work for TRL. I'm on the Freight and Fleet team in the Sustainable Operations Group.
And last but by no means least,
Ben Morris. I work for a company called DG Cities, which is based here in Greenwich. And we really are a bunch of enthusiastic people from across different sectors looking at urban innovation, how we make our cities better, more livable, more resilient, more sustainable, easier to get around, just better places to live, work and play, really.
McKenzie at the Road Haulage Association argues that having driverless vehicles involved in transportation may still be a long way off.
Well, I think that in the very long term, driverless vehicles may certainly have a role to play in transportation, but certainly not short term, because there are too many kind of obstacles towards truly driverless vehicles or autonomous vehicles at the moment. So it's an evolution.
Rod says that there are a number of issues that would need to be tackled before driverless lorries could be considered a safe enough alternative. Safety, he says, is a primary concern.
I think this whole thing raises a number of different issues and a number of different problems. One of the kind of simplest ones, if you like, is really the question of supervision and safety. At the moment, you could certainly have some sort of platooning exercise where a number of vehicles were travelling in a line, as it were, in a convoy. But you would need a driver in the truck, in the cab of each one, so that if something went wrong, he or she could take back control of the wheel and perform whatever manoeuvre was needed. And that's essential.
As well as safety and supervision, Rod argues that lorry drivers have other roles to play beyond just driving their vehicles.
Often in heavy haulage, you are dealing with a supply chain, a supply depot, another haulier's yard, etc. There are lots of different interactions. But certainly, you do need human beings, because you often need human beings to unload what there is on the back of the truck. Even if a lift grab is doing it, you need somebody to do some of the paperwork that's associated with that. And you certainly can't be seeing the end of lorry drivers as a profession anytime soon.
And these roles, of course, differ greatly across the huge variety of goods being transported around the UK's roads. A van carrying organs for transplant, for instance, will require totally different treatment to a carriage filled with livestock or an oil tanker. Ultimately, Rod believes that a move towards autonomous lorries won't be something that happens quickly.
It's not going to be a quick thing, as I say. This is something 10, 20, 30 years down the line. It's much easier to think of a world with autonomous cars or autonomous taxis or simple delivery drones than it is a 44-ton truck laden with goodies for a supermarket. You really do need a human to do that, and I think that we're some way away from the sort of future you're sketching out.
And, Rod says, the role that freight plays in keeping the country ticking over is simply too important to ignore.
The thing about the supply chain is you only notice it when it breaks down. Suddenly you get a few days of snow and you've got empty supermarket shelves and the penny drops that lorries do vital work supporting the supply chain and keeping the British economy moving. But most of the time the supply chain works brilliantly. It's crewed very professionally and the logistics people who run it are superb. So we don't notice the supply chain until and unless it goes wrong.
Indeed. Many of the challenges that Rod outlines will only be solved with real-world testing and by bringing together people from across multiple different sectors. Building robust, connected test environments will be key to discovering the possibilities that cabs can offer the freight industry. TRL's Ailish Garvey also agrees that it will be a while before our lorries and vans are completely driverless, but suggests that as freight moves to incorporate more automation, the role of the driver might change too.
Well, currently vehicles can't be completely driverless because legislation in the UK says that a driver must be present to take over control if necessary. But there will be a sort of shift in the nature of the job of that individual that's in the car away from being a driver and towards being more of a vehicle attendant. There is a danger that that might affect job satisfaction. However, there is an opportunity for drivers to be upskilled in other areas, which would allow the operator a better overall service, sort of training individuals in areas such as customer service, load security, or vehicle maintenance. So in our research on this, we found that companies we've spoken to so far have demonstrated a bit of an apprehension in the idea of removing the driver from the equation completely, even if that was allowed. because there's still a value to having someone in the vehicle to perform the handover of goods and to ensure the security of the load and of the vehicle.
For Eilish, connected and autonomous vehicles are perhaps most interesting for the improved efficiency that they can offer. As I mentioned earlier, freight is not a high-margin business. It's also a business that operates on a huge scale, which means that even incremental marginal improvements can have a huge knock-on effect on anything from the economics of an operation to the impact that it has on the environment. In 2012, Sainsbury's announced that it will be shaving 11 millimetres off the cardboard tubing used inside its toilet rolls. The shrink was aimed at avoiding as many as 500 annual lorry trips from suppliers to stores. Small change, big impact. But this effect works the other way around too. When things aren't moving so efficiently, the negative impact can also be heightened. In the freight business, inefficient routing and deadhead, which refers to journeys made without any cargo on board, can prove costly.
So at the moment, 30% of freight miles are driven empty. There are certain types of freight transportation where empty miles are just unavoidable. So for example, there are removals vans which need to arrive empty, petrol tankers which can't be backloaded. So there are some freight transports where you can't improve load utilization. But there is a drive across the industry from an environmental and economic perspective to minimize the amount of empty miles driven without the use of autonomous vehicles. This has already led to collaborations between companies and the introduction of freight sharing platforms online where freight capacity can be identified and utilized to best effect. So really the problem of empty miles can't be solved until we have an improved knowledge of what gets shipped and when. AVs don't necessarily obviously assist this issue directly, but the benefit of AV freight does come further down the line with this. When goods are getting delivered and the AV system is able to calculate the most efficient route to take.
America's United Parcel Service, better known as UPS, is famed for its use of smart routing software. Routes are mapped to eliminate as many left-hand turns as possible, which means that drivers spend less time turning through oncoming traffic at a junction. The company says that typically only 10% of turns taken by drivers are left turns, and that this saves as much as 10 million gallons of fuel, 20,000 tons in carbon dioxide emissions, and, crucially for UPS, allows for the delivery of 350,000 more packages every year. For Eilish, this points towards just some of the potential offered by cab systems.
So one study showed that drivers take 6 to 8 months to get familiar with their area, and unfamiliar drivers are 50% less efficient than familiar drivers in central London. So if you sort of remove that whole element of it, then you can save a lot of mileage and streamline the whole operation. AVs sort of offer the potential to optimise the service by finding the quickest route in real time and adapting their speed to the surrounding environment so they can travel at the highest safe velocity and they can drive for long periods without rest, increasing efficiency and easing congestion in built-up areas.
Ultimately, it's about increasing efficiency and the positive impact that could have on the UK's productivity and, by extension, its GDP. In fact, a recent study conducted by SMLL found that 62% of UK business leaders surveyed believed cabs will have a positive impact on gross domestic product. And perhaps, says Eilish, this same kind of thinking could be applied to a more multimodal transport mix.
Demand for freight, especially in urban areas, is increasing as people are shopping online more and expecting home deliveries in shorter time scales. The roads are already at capacity and cities are very congested. Rail network is also deemed to be at capacity, and that doesn't really fix the issue of door-to-door deliveries. So there are solutions such as delivery drones and underground tunnels. But in the short term, there are barriers to introducing solutions. There's a massive infrastructure investment that would be necessary to even make them possible. There's also regulations like aviation regulations, which restrict the movement of drones, and restrictions on the sort of size, shape, and payload of the type of items that could be delivered in that way. But in the longer term, drones and underground tunnels could be a really good means to alleviate the problem of limited road capacity. they could play a big part in a multimodal transport system.
Ben Morris, as mobility lead at DG Cities, is particularly interested in the final mile of delivery. This is where he's seeing the most innovation and disruption at the moment.
We've spoken to a number of sort of logistics companies, whether it's sort of HGV long haul or smaller van last mile delivery. And certainly the Ocados and the John Lewis's of the world very much see their driver as an integral part of the customer experience. And so their view is that they won't actually sort of change their workforce. They will just sort of repurpose, retrain their people to interact with customers, whether it's sort of unloading the goods, whether it's putting their carpet in or putting their sofa together or putting their cold goods in the fridge. I think in terms of the smaller van last mile delivery, that's where there's potential disruption to jobs in terms of robotics taking over deliveries that were otherwise done by a human being. But it doesn't have to. And actually, you know, a lot of the times when we see disruption happening, there's unintended consequences and new job opportunities created out of it.
Earlier this year, the Gateway Project put tech to the test, using self-driving vehicles to deliver packages to people's homes. Ben explains how the trials played out.
So as part of the Gateway Project, which finished in March this year, one of the trials that we carried out was in the Woolwich Arsenal, where we worked with Oxbotica and a number of other companies. And we effectively tested out what the customer experience could be for last mile delivery of non-perishable goods. The experience was set up for the customer that they could order one of three different packages. They'd get a text notification when the car was outside. They would could either come out and collect the goods from the driver or from the driver in inverted commas, or he or she could actually deliver it direct to the door. And then we actually sort of followed the customer experience through and got survey feedback to understand how people interacted and engaged with it. And actually, most people said that they would pay at least the same amount, if not more, for driverless delivery, which is an interesting finding. And actually sort of confirmed, at least to me, that the role of the driver can and will change and become much more interactive with the customer.
In fact, Ben says, he can see this approach to final mile delivery being applied much more widely in the near future. He suggests that buildings in urban areas might take on additional roles as consolidation centres, or distribution facilities for onward deliveries.
I think people are always going to want to buy goods. I think certainly sort of food shopping will remain something that people do more and more online, topped up by local convenience stores. I think people will always want to buy things and have them delivered. So there will always be a logistics industry. In terms of how it looks, I think there will always be long haul to get good, you know, large goods and large amounts of goods between locations quickly. In terms of the last mile, I think there'll be more and more sort of consolidation closer to where people live. Certainly if it's tower blocks, it could be, you know, tower block by tower block consolidation and robotic delivery within. If it's more sort of dispersed community, there could be a centralized hub with robots sort of driving around, maybe even during the day or maybe even at night time.
And as for other emerging technologies like delivery drones, well, Ben's not quite so convinced.
I think drones will continue to remain very niche in terms of the types of goods that they deliver. They're not well suited for carrying more than one thing. They are well suited for carrying one thing from location to location very quickly and reliably. So for things like organs, I think drones will remain sort of mode of choice. But I can't see hundreds or thousands of drones landing on top of tower blocks, Blade Runner style, in the near future.
And then, of course, there's other aspects like the great British weather, gates and bin day to contend with too.
The trial, the last mile delivery trial that we did in the Woolwich Arsenal, actually, we had to open the gates to allow the vehicle in. That was a manual process. There's also had trouble navigating around some of the bins on bin day. which was quite funny and interesting. Sort of challenge, unanticipated challenge. There's issues around weather, you know, what if it's snowy, what if it's icy? Are people actually going to be sort of, when it's a ubiquitous thing in terms of driverless deliveries, are people going to think that it's that special, or are they just going to sort of, it's, you know, does it create a new norm? Are people going to want to come out to grab their stuff, or are they still going to expect people to bring it to their door? All of those things sort of, I think, still need to be explored.
But all of this talk of tower blocks and roads crowded on bin day raises another potential issue. What about our rural and more remote areas? Those places that don't benefit from the same connectivity, infrastructure and investment as our cities. This is perhaps a question for another episode of Journey Makers, but Ben did have some thoughts on this issue too. He suggested that advances in new technologies like 3D printing could reduce the need for long-haul deliveries and help create more self-sustaining communities. But at some point, he believes, policymakers will need to act on the growing digital divide between urban and rural areas.
I mean, I think there's always been a sort of tension between the pace of development in cities versus rural areas. We've seen that with telecoms. You know, I think we will continue to see that. And, you know, if we want to combat that, then we need to understand that if the services we provide in cities work for cities, then they probably need to either subsidise or supplement that sort of level of service for suburban and particularly rural areas. That's where the role of sort of government, policymakers, regulators need to be involved proactively in this market space, so that it's not just city-centric.
All this talk of policy is probably a good opportunity to plug our previous episode. So, yeah, if you haven't already, then I'd suggest you go back and take a listen to how our experts tackled the issue of legislating for driverless cars. So from talking with our freight experts, it's clear there are many unknowns, but also plenty of opportunities for driverless vehicles in the sector. Just last month, Benedict Evans, a partner at the gilded Silicon Valley venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, gave a presentation on the future of business and the internet. In it, he compared the market size of e-commerce to grocery, and it's perhaps not surprising to hear that people spend a lot more money on their groceries than they do on e-commerce purchases. But the number of people buying their groceries online is growing, particularly in the UK. For tech innovators, this is simply too big of an opportunity to miss out on. And of course, freight will have a considerable role to play in this future. Will that future include autonomous vehicles? From what we've heard today, the answer is at least probably, if not definitely. But uncertain answers are often what you deal with when you're tackling the big questions. We know that because that's what we do with every episode of Journey Makers. So join us next month as we take on another big question facing the future of mobility. You'll find Journey Makers wherever you usually get your podcasts. And if you've got a big question you'd like to hear us tackle in another episode, then send us a tweet at @SMLL_London. Until next time, see you in the future. How will you be getting there?